We're doing Avat Chesed. We had begun the fourth chapter. This is the Chafetz Chaim's work on the laws, the mitzvot of being kind to our fellow man. The Chafetz Chaim had discussed the verse in Ecclesiastes that a person should see to it to live his life with a woman he loves. And then Shlomo HaMelech had said, do what you can while you still can, because you're not going to be able to do it once you hit the grave. And the Chafetz Chaim said, this can be understood with a parable about a person who was very wealthy and was very smart, and then he lost his wealth. He started looking for a job that was high paying in accordance with his expertise. When he saw he couldn't find one, he took a low-paying job, and his friend who met him asked him, hey, you can do so much better. And he said, right, but I was reaching a point where I had nothing to eat, so I had to take this, and thank God I found this. I couldn't search for a high-paying job when I was reaching a point of no food. Now I can cover my expenses, so now we can talk. And by the same token, the Chafetz Chaim said, now he's explaining the parable, he's saying, okay, what do we look for in life? What should be our priorities from a spiritual perspective? Obviously, from a physical perspective, you got to cover your costs, you need a house, you need shelter, etc. But from a spiritual perspective, what should we be seeking in life? And he said there are three things in this order. The first thing is learning Torah. That's the most important thing. And a person has to know that's the biggest mitzvah. And a person has to try to stick it into his day every day and as a part of his life throughout his life. Machon Meir is the basis from which you have to grow. You got to take what you've learned and keep developing, keep learning. And I encourage you, when you go back to wherever you're going, to teach. Not only learn, not only tap in online, but teach. Wherever you're going to be, there are people who know less than you. If you're going to prepare, if you're going to give a class, that will always help you continuously grow. If a person is busy giving and teaching, then he is busy growing. I think I mentioned the story of a friend of mine who entered a law practice almost 30 years ago. And at some point I told him, hey, you should be giving a class. And I was very young then. I must have been like 13. And I said to him, you know, if you teach Torah, you'll end up learning Torah. 20 years have passed. His office has consistently had works of Torah in it. And because for 20 years he was giving a class, so whenever he had free time in his office, he'd sit down and learn and prepare the class. And then his house revolved around Torah. Every one of his children is either learning Torah much of the day or married someone who's learning Torah much of the day. Some of his sons-in-laws are rabbis of communities. And this is all, to my mind, because his house was focused around Torah, because he gave a class once a week. Once a week, Shabbos morning, after davening, they'd have chulent in their house and people would come over. They'd have 20, 30 people coming for chulent and a class in Rambam. And he would always be learning, preparing for that class in Rambam. After the class, they'd end up talking, learning 1 hour a week. But it was the focus. It was the focus. His house became a breeding ground for learning Torah. So that's our responsibility. Number one, as we go through life, we have to set up learning Torah. That has to be a part of every day and a part of our cheshbon nefesh. As we evaluate ourselves, we reach a juncture in our lives, we ask ourselves, okay, what have I done in learning Torah? Where am I going in learning Torah? You reach a birthday, that's a time to gauge yourself, ask yourself, okay, where did I come from? Where am I going to? What have I accomplished? This is number one. When we think about how we set up our day, this has to be the first component. Number two, inyana tshuva, another concept. People come to Machon Meir, they think, I did tshuva, now onward with life. No, tshuva is a lifelong process throughout our lives. People sometimes ask me here at the Machon, are you a Baal tshuva? And I say, I don't know if I've merited to be a Baal tshuva yet. You know, when a person comes from a place where they didn't eat kosher, now they eat kosher, they didn't learn Torah, now they learn Torah, etc. So they know they did tshuva on many things. But tshuva is a lifelong process. And the second component that has to be a part of our life is tshuva, where a person thinks, okay, how do I move forward? How do I fix what I've done wrong? I think in my life, one of the most important things I've tried to do that helps me move forward in tshuva is in my Shmona Esrei. When I can, when I reach the point, Slach Lanu, I stop. And I say to myself, okay, what do I regret that I did in the last 24 hours or since the last prayer? Very often we've done something wrong and we say, shucks, and we move forward. We say, okay, I shouldn't do that again. And then we move forward. If every time a person said a piece of Lashon Hara, he said something he shouldn't have said, he spread slander, he said a word that was derisive to someone, about someone, if the next Shmona Esrei he'd stand up there and say, God, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't have said that, I'm going to try not to do it again, that's going to help him move forward and not doing it again. If all it is a passing, fleeting thought, shouldn't have done that, well then very easily happens again. So when I try to force myself to actually verbalize that request, God, I'm sorry I did such and such, and I'm going to try not to do it again. When you say that, so suddenly you've taken a step forward. Very often we can go a whole day, and even though three times a day we say, Slach Lanu, forgive us God for we've sinned, we're not really thinking about anything specific. Proof of it is, yes, the average person, he reaches Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, 10 days of repentance. So sometimes a guy knows, you know, I haven't been eating kosher, okay, I got to do tshuva on that. But once a person reaches a certain stage, they look back and they say, what did I do wrong? I can't think of anything. The best they can think of is last week they had a yelling match with the neighbor. But they forget the whole year. It's like I've been a perfect boy all year, you know, it's like Santa. Right? I've been perfect. I can't remember anything wrong. Okay, so yesterday I was disrespectful. But it's not so. So the second component that the Chafetz Chaim says, tshuva, looking back and saying, what do I need to change? How do I move forward? Now, this should not bring one to depression. Tshuva shouldn't be about depression. Tshuva is about looking forward. How do I make sure this doesn't happen again? How do I move forward on this? Number three, lechapes v'lirdof achar mitzvot u'masim tovim, to pursue mitzvot and good deeds. Now that's so important. Kmo shekatuv, as the verse says, Rodev tzedakah v'chased, yimtza chaim tzedakah v'chavod. He who pursues charity and kindness, pursues it. That means when there's a question, who's going to clear the table, who's going to do the diaper, who's going to carry something, he's looking to be the one to do it. Now, naturally, no one wants to do it. Well, we all have other things to do with our time. We all would much rather not go out of our way. Oh, don't get me wrong. If other people are looking, then it's very, you know, it's enticing to do it. People will see us. I remember I was on a date once, and someone came collecting, and I kept asking myself, should I give or shouldn't I give? Because would I give if I were alone? Am I doing it to impress her, or am I doing it because that's really who I am?
Give what?
Yeah, give charity. I'm saying you come to the Kotel, so 50 people come to you and ask you for, in my day, today it's much less, but 15 years ago, by the time you walked in, you were approached by 15 people. Now, it could be 15 years ago, I looked more like a tourist. It could be it didn't change, but the look on my face changed, I'm not sure. But at any rate, okay, do you give one, do you give two, do you give 10? It's very easy when other people are looking and you want to make an impression, so then you're happy to give. But the truth is, a person should pursue kindness. A person should look for opportunities. There's a non-Jewish custom, if you can call it that, my good deed for the day. You guys probably heard of this, right? People say, I want to do a good deed for the day. So we say we should be doing good deeds all the time. But why don't we challenge ourselves and adopt this and say, let me try to do one good deed that I had to pursue. It didn't come my way. I went out of my way to help someone. I went out of my way to pursue a good deed. You know, Rav Natan Siegel is home. He's out of the hospital, thank God. It's not a big deal to call, send an email, send a message. And when you visit someone who's sick, so the trick is not to take from their strength, but to give them strength. So it might be nicer to call the house phone and ask if it would give him strength to talk to a student, or it would, it would tire him. If it would tire him out, just to say, we miss him. He's on our mind. Takes all of 1 minute, 2 minutes. It's not a big deal. I'm saying there are a lot of mitzvot that are easy. You see someone who's sick in bed here in the Machon. It's very easy to offer him to bring him a meal. I'll challenge you with a simple one. You go down to dinner, and there aren't going to be enough of whatever they're giving out for everyone. What would happen if a person would say, I'll take the squished one, or I'll take one less than everyone else. I'll eat more bread and less of something else. I'm not saying to do it every night. But, you know, imagine a yeshiva where no one's there on time for dinner. Everyone wants to be the last online. No one wants to be the one to take so that other people won't get. Isn't that the way yeshiva should look? You know, I understand there's the concept, let me be there while there's still good food so I don't get stuck with the leftovers or lack of food. Yeah, I understand. But I'm saying, shouldn't the yeshiva be a place where a lot of people are saying, I don't want to be there first. I want to be there after everyone else got. Okay, so I'm not saying we should go hungry. A person has to take care of himself. A person has to eat. A person also has to find areas where he can care for his fellow man. So the Chafetz Chaim told us three components we should be looking for in each day of our lives. One was Torah. Two was tshuva. Three was the pursuit of kindness. Now this is all introductory. He hasn't yet made his point. He's just saying in passing. He says one more point of introduction. When the verse says, it says in the Pasuk, do whatever you can while you still can, because in the grave, there's no action, there's no accounting, there's no knowledge or wisdom. So the sages say that knowledge of or wisdom are a reference to Torah, because that's the source of knowledge and wisdom. Cheshbon, accounting, alludes to tshuva. That comes out of cheshbon. When you do cheshbon nefesh, you take an accounting of yourself. Again, so I'm just reading through the Hebrew of this. It says another introduction, ki chokhma v'dat ha-ketuv b'mikra hazeh, when the verse says wisdom and knowledge, hu ramuz ala Torah. The verse is saying that you won't have the capacity to learn Torah in the grave. Shei mekor chokhma v'dat, that's the root. That's the source of wisdom and knowledge. Cheshbon, when it says you won't have accounting when you go to the grave, that's an allusion. Hum ramez al tshuva, sheiba al yedei cheshbon hanefesh. The only way to do tshuva is to sit and take an accounting of oneself. Ukmo shamu chazal, as our sages say on the pasuk, al ken yomru hamashlim bo cheshbon, etc. And finally, okay, once we know that, now he's going to explain how the parable fits the verse. V'atay vo haktuvim kemin chomer. Now it all fits. Shemitchila amar, first, what does King Solomon say? Rei chayim im isha asher ahavta. See to it that you spend life with a woman you love. V'im ramezta la Torah. What's that alluding to? Torah. Torah is always referred to as the woman, as our sages taught. Shenikret b'shem isha kmo shamu chazal u'mashamar katuv. When the verse says, see to it you live life with the woman you love. Ki adam tzich limod memakom sheli bo chafetz. You got to learn what you enjoy learning. That's a rule in learning Torah. Now, obviously, you can't wake up every morning and say, today I want to learn Kuzri, today I want to learn Maharal, tomorrow I want to learn Zohar. Oh, but tomorrow I want to go to Breslov Yeshiva. But the next day I want to go learn in Mecca Zarav. Yeah, you're never going to learn anything that way. There needs to be consistency. But in general, you have to try and pick a path you enjoy. Kmo shamu b'avodah zarah, as our sages taught us in Tractate of Avodah Zarah. Then the verse says, kol yamei chayei hevlecha, throughout the days of your life, anshlo yechzal afilu yom achad m'limud Torah. Our sages were saying you shouldn't miss even a day of learning Torah. I told you guys the story of my wedding night, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Those of you who didn't hear it, in a nutshell, this is quoted in the laws of Torah. It's of learning Torah in the Codex and the Shulchan Aruch. It's also quoted in the Rambam that if you want to merit the crown of Torah, you shouldn't lose even one night from learning Torah. So, what do I do on my wedding night? I made up with my chavrusa that while everyone's going to sit down to eat, I'm going to excuse myself as if I'm going to the restroom. And I'll go back to the yichud room, and we'll meet there. We both had photocopies of what we were learning. And we'd meet there, and we'd learn for 10, 15 minutes, so I don't miss a night. Who's going to know if I was in the restroom or learning Torah? So I did a grave sin. I'm going to leave the wedding for 10 minutes to learn some Torah. So, okay. We made up a time. We made up a place. We went back there. And we're sitting there for 5 minutes learning, and suddenly my mother-in-law walks in. And thank God, she didn't say anything. She was like, oh, sorry, I didn't want to disturb, and walked out. And so, okay. Yeah, it says you shouldn't lose a night. So, okay, You shouldn't lose a night. Yeah. So a person has to try to have every day he learns. If you learn every day, then that's a lead in to doing tshuva and doing good deeds. We say it every day in Shmona Esrei. What do we say? We speak about tshuva. What do we say? Hashiveinu avinu l'toras techa. We begin the concept of tshuva by saying, bring us back to Torah. Because through Torah we can learn how to be better people. Only afterwards do we ask God to come close to His service. Once a person is distant from Torah, then obviously he's going to be distant from all the other mitzvot. So he's building up towards his parable, but we can't go on. We're out of time, so we'll pick up here. Bezat Shem Thursday.